This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, May 18th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Instant delivery. That's the dream of anyone who wants to order something in a hurry. And it's the goal of many venture capitalists who've been pouring money into startups that promise to deliver groceries and other goods in 30 minutes or less. The company on the receiving end of most of the funding lately? GoPuff. The 9-year-old startup has raised $1.5 billion from investors and has a roughly $15 billion valuation. So, is instant the future of delivery? And how do you build a profitable business around it? On today's show, we'll hear from GoPuff's co-CEO, Rafael Ilyashev. He spoke with our tech columnist, Christopher Mims, yesterday at the WSJ's Future of Everything Festival. That's after these headlines. The saga over Elon Musk's plan to buy Twitter continues. The billionaire is casting fresh doubts about the deal's future. In a tweet early Tuesday, he accused Twitter's CEO of refusing to show proof of the number of fake accounts on the platform. Musk says he thinks fake users make up at least 20% of all Twitter accounts. That figure roughly matches one in a report from the market research firm SparkToro. That firm says its estimates include users that could be considered legitimate, like accounts that post a feed of news headlines. In securities filings, Twitter has consistently said spam or false accounts represent less than 5% of its active users, but that the actual number could be higher. Telehealth startup Cerebral says it'll stop prescribing almost all controlled substances. In an email to staff, Cerebral's CEO wrote that the company would seek to taper existing patients off their prescriptions for controlled substances or transfer them to an in-person clinician. The move follows scrutiny over how the startup provided stimulants to treat ADHD. The Wall Street Journal reported in March that some of Cerebral's staff said they felt pressured to prescribe stimulants like Adderall. At the time, the company said it doesn't pressure clinicians to write prescriptions and that it was providing an essential service. And Disney is promising that a new ad-supported version of its streaming service won't have too many commercials. The company says ads will be limited to about 4 minutes per hour when it launches the cheaper version of its service later this year. It also vows not to show commercials to preschoolers. Our advertising editor, Suzanne Vernitza, says that move comes at a time when there's an estimated $74 billion worth of TV advertising up for grabs.
When the streamers all first started, lots of them wanted to be ad-free. But as user growth and subscribers start to sort of fall off, you always look for new revenue. And a lot of them are now, you know, reversing course and basically bringing an ad-supported version of their streaming services. So Disney's out of the gate. They're going to launch their ad-supported service. And now Netflix has also disclosed that they're going to actually have one as well.
All right, coming up, delivery in minutes. The co-CEO of the biggest instant delivery company says don't rely on robots. We'll find out why after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
A growing number of instant delivery companies promise to get groceries and other goods to appear at your door within minutes. Venture capital has been pouring into this sector. But as we've talked about on this show before, these startups are losing a lot of money in their efforts to meet that demand and stand out from the crowd. So, what are they doing to try and build a profitable business in the ultra-competitive delivery sector? At the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival this week, WSJ tech columnist Christopher Mims spoke with Rafael Ilyashev, the co-CEO of GoPuff, the company that's raised the most money in this sector. Here are highlights from their conversation.
Rafael, Welcome to the Thunderdome. You're in a very competitive market where a lot of people have failed before. And I would love to hear your case for why we're going to have this conversation again in 5 years. And you'll be telling me how you survived this moment.
Yeah, well, Christopher, thanks so much for having me. You know, GoPuff's origin story is a little different than most VC-backed companies, right? In the sense of when we started this business 9 years ago, we didn't have any funding. We bootstrapped this company. We were really, really scrappy. And we believe the first-party model is the model that's going to win. So in its very, very core, GoPuff monetizes products, not people, right? If you think about delivery at large, they work and are profitable, or they try to be profitable, strive to be profitable based on delivery fees and service fees. We make all of our margin on our goods.
And to be clear, you're a retailer. So you're a first party. You're not like Instacart. You're not going to other shops. You own these goods. You own these warehouses. You're like Amazon in that way.
Yeah, we're first party. We took a lot of inspiration from Amazon early on, but I think for us, that's the party that wins. It's the one that is completely vertically integrated. It owns the entire consumer experience end to end. And we believe kind of history has shown that the first party player is the player that could do this profitably as well.
So we're in a different world now. You grew tremendously during the pandemic for obvious reasons. People are going out again. People are going to the store again. People are shopping the way that they used to. Also, you know, inflation is on the march. That's changing how people buy groceries, what they're willing to pay. Are you already seeing some impacts from that?
You know, I think the future of commerce in general is instant, right? And no matter...
But let me stop you right there. Yeah. When you say the future of commerce is instant, surely you don't mean all commerce.
I think other aspects of commerce, whether it's content or content creation or adoption, is also good. I think going to be instant. But I think from our perspective, we're not going to take meaningful steps backwards, right? If you think about commerce as a whole, right? We started brick and mortar, then the digital revolution came. We got things in a couple of days. Then Amazon standardized 2-day ship and 1-day ship. And a few players have tried to do what we did before. I think they were a little before their time. And we created this instant needs economy where you could get it. All your immediate everyday needs delivered very, very quickly. And by the way, profitably. So I think the future of commerce truly is instant. And, you know, to just mention inflation, we've had to adjust as well. For 8 years, we hadn't changed our delivery fee. It's been $2. And just a few months ago, we had to do an increase for the first time ever.
You said that you had looked at a lot of the things that, you know, are being pushed by, frankly, Bezos and Amazon, Google and Wing, Flytrex, others. Lots of people are rolling out drone delivery. You seem like such an obvious application for that, but you told me you were very skeptical. Why is that?
You know, I think the practical application in urban and urban adjacent environments for drone delivery, it's going to be just very, very hard to materialize, right? I think there's a very obvious application for drone delivery, I think in the 2 to 5 year range in suburban markets. The bulk of our business today is in urban and urban adjacent America, right? We're expanding heavily in the suburban markets. But today, the practical application of drone delivery in an area where there's high rises, it's just going to be very, very difficult. And not just that, right? We talked, you know, backstage a little about, you know, autonomizing the workflow of our micro-fulfillment centers.
So you mean putting robots into these small regional warehouses you have where currently you are pulling goods for delivery?
Yep. And the idea or the hypothesis is going to make us more efficient and is going to make us more profitable. The truth was, every experiment that we ran in these micro-fulfillment centers, robotics actually complicated the processes. It made it more expensive and more difficult and more complicated. So, you know, the obvious solution is not always the right one.
So you're not the only one that has this first-party model, which is so distinct from, you know, Instacart's model. Obviously, DoorDash has launched their Dash Marts. You have other competitors. Obviously, in your view, that's the model that works for instant needs. Do you think that that means that there's an opportunity for more than one company to succeed in this space? When I want ice cream at 10 p.m. and I want it in under 30 minutes, am I going to have options?
Yeah, what I'll tell you is this business is very difficult. All right, it took us a lot of years and a lot of years of being under the radar. Right, first 6 years, we had no PR or media strategy. We were just under the radar building this business. It takes a lot of getting it wrong before you get it right. First, within the technology of the four walls of the building, on picking and packing the order, to the routing, binning, and batching. We bought a company a year and a half ago called RideOS that help us figure out the batching and routing portion of this business. Without that, it's very, very hard to achieve EBITDA level profitability. And it took years of work.
And by the way, when you say RideOS and batching, you mean putting multiple orders in one car that they can then drop off one spot after another.
There's usually direct correlation between an industry metric called ODH, which is the amount of orders a driver could fulfill an hour, and profitability. Usually that's an inverse relationship with delivery time. The key is you want to make sure that your ODH is high and your consumer experience is great. To do that, you need to accurately predict the amount of orders that are going to come in within that same square block or a couple of square blocks of an order that's already in. You know, that's a really gnarly problem to solve.
So I know I have so many more questions, but I just want to say thank you for your time.
Christopher, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. To catch the rest of the Future of Everything Festival continuing today and Thursday, go to wsj.com/futurefestival and click Join Us Live to register for a free online pass. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.